It's working in you. And it will continue to work in you if you trust in Him. Because you were cleansed by the giving of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus' shed blood, offered willingly. You were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's, of course, 1 Peter 2:9. You're zealous of good works, Titus 2:4. So, brother, what I'm trying to say, you are a people for a purpose. That's Wilson's dialogue. You're separate from the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Your transformation began when you said to our Lord, use me in your service. Overlay my character with gold, which leads finally to the complete divine gold characteristic. For the former things are passed away, all things become new. Revelation 21:4. You have new hopes, new aims, new ambitions. You have set your affections on things above. And so you act accordingly. That's why you were drawn here. You're developing that new mind. You're becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. And there will be that new order of beings that will come at that first resurrection, leading to a place of gold or the divine nature, as we said. You're striving to be different from others. You're possessed with a special love for that which is good, the things that are just, the things that are noble and kind and considerate. So contrary to the mindset of the world today. You're striving to have this King of Kings and Lord of Lords rule your hearts. 1 Timothy 6:15. You have the Spirit of Christ and you have made a full consecration to the Lord. And so, in doing so, you want to adhere to His Word. You want to strive to learn more of His ways. And then you have that decided faith, a strong faith that's unwavering, that cannot be moved. We're in a world of change. Every day the world changes. Brother Robert Goodman, who I mentioned earlier, gave a talk in our class. You know, the knowledge of the world used to increase or double every 100 years. Now it's 1 to 2 years. Imagine that. Increasing in 2 years. Combined knowledge of the world. There are a lot of distractions out there that want to take us away from service, but we have to desire to please Him, to praise Him, to trust in Him, and develop the fruits and graces of this Holy Spirit in each of us to reach those quarter marks that are set before us. But it's not only in us. We want to help one another to reach those marks. Philippians 3:14 tells us that. Then you desire to thank God daily for the blessings and to thank the Father for everything that He has provided for you. So, brother, you have come here, as we said, to be overlaid with gold. You have come here to build upon your precious memories of things from the Father's storehouse and to build upon them. And to look at this text that we're going to use as our theme text, Psalm 77, verse 11. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. And here we are in 2012. Well, to me, I can't believe it's 2012. It seemed just like a little while ago it was Y2K we're all concerned about, right? And now look. We're 12 years past that. Many things are taking place in the world. But if you look back at the past year, there were 2 months into the new year, what memories, what do you think on? What special events do you remember in the past year that took place and have taken place so far in this year? Something that's touched your life? Perhaps the conditions in the world. The evidences of prophecies being fulfilled. Maybe you focused on a convention, a lesson, a special comment made during a meeting in your own ecclesia. Maybe a special study you had or a discourse that touched your heart and your mind. Words that you thought were just being spoken to you. You know, the Lord is so loving. He gives us those opportunities of something just provided for you because He knows that you are in need of that. Maybe there are things you share together as a family in the body of Christ, those of like precious faith. And we have our joys, and certainly we've had our sorrows this year. It may have been at times when we were in special need of prayer, or even when we were privileged to have rendered a special prayer on behalf of one of our brothers who are in need. Giving that cup of cold water to them, Mark 9:41. We should be assured that in any and all situations, the loving face of the Father is there. He's shining upon us. He's here. His presence is with us tonight. He's guided and directed us to this meeting. And so as we ended that old year of 2011 and we're into 2012, we should have ended it and begun it in the same way with Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. And you know these verses. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all His people. This is how we should start our day. Not only our year, our waking moments are how can I serve You, Father? How can I be a help to those that are around about me? The wonderful, loving brethren. And so we want to go on in this year and each day to make it one of our greatest hopes in improving our characters. Our greatest effort in learning more of the will of God. And then a greatest way of applying those things, making that effort of self-sacrifice, that we can have a largest success possible in being molded and shaped and submissive to the Father's will. So we want to have those things in our lives. And we want to say to our Heavenly Father, may I approach You, Father, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord, that I will daily remember at the throne of heavenly grace those of like precious faith. Just think of those words, of like precious faith. Now, if you sit here tonight and you think of those of like precious faith, I'm sure many, many brethren come to your mind. Some not with us anymore, some still with us. Some out in the vineyard, planting the seeds of hope and encouragement to those who have a listening ear. Just like the brother who traveled to India this year. I think the Alberts will be here this weekend. They just returned. Imagine they just were in India, they're going to be here. It's remarkable. But they're here because they have that desire. And just think of the precious memories they will share with us of their experiences. It reminds me that if you're faithful to death, 144,000 gathered together, this temple of God in that glorious heavenly realm will have those precious memories to share one with another of their experiences that they and how they did this. As true yoke fellows, they were forbearing one another and forgiving one another. As it says in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 13 through 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful for that calling, and that you are of that body. We're so thankful, and as I grow older in years, of having the opportunity still to remember, to think of things. And the mind is such a remarkable thing that the Heavenly Father created through His Son. That if you think of a thought, maybe you thought you forgot it. It can lead to another thought, and another thought, and another thought. And you're building upon those. And you have to keep your mind active, though, to do that. You build upon it, and that is going to God's Word. A good memory is a prized possession. The Heavenly Father created it in man when He created Adam. And He wants us to recall to mind previously learned facts and lessons, some good, easy experiences, some very hard experiences, but again, they're cumulative. They're building upon each other. He wants us to practice information, to study it, to apply it, to rehearse it. Practice makes perfect, my teacher used to say in fourth grade. We'd have the spelling words. How many had a teacher in fourth grade that had spelling? We all did, right? Practice those words, Michael. And of course, I wanted to please her. I did. And you practice. You put into practice, again, the things that you're learning. Because we want to be a sympathetic high priest to the world. We understand the circumstances they're going through. And I think as we come here and we feed on His Word, it strengthens us. It gives us vitality to go on to please Him. And you know the words I'm going to speak next. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's not rightly dividing between that comment and this opinion. It's the Word of God that you're applying, His pure Word that comes to you again. He's promised to give you of that finest of the wheat. Not only does He give you that wheat, He gives you the ability to digest it and to use it. For the what? New creature's development. The new mind. It's our Father's grace. Because why? You were not your own. You were bought and you were paid for with a price. Is that where it ends? No, it doesn't. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What does it mean to us? It shows us that our time, our talent, our energy, everything we have, even our life itself, rightfully belongs to the Lord. It's like that hymn, not my own, but saved by Jesus who redeemed me by His blood. I belong to Christ the Lord. And I want to be used each day until I'm consumed, until my life is spent in service. Because I'm not looking at the things which are seen, but I'm looking at the things which are not seen. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:14-18, for the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's look at each other with the eyes and the perspective of love and devotion and understanding. You're not going to get it out there in the world. There's good people in the world. Their eyes of understanding have not been opened. I mean, people give money to help the earthquake victims and the flood victims and the hurricane victims. But their eyes of understanding have not seen the true and living God, that they'll have the reward. When their eyes of understanding are open to this message, that pure Word of God, they'll accept it. And they'll want to love God with their heart, even as Christ was a pattern of that love and the footstep followers were the pattern of that love. So we want to strive to walk in the Lord's footsteps, to be thankful to God our Father for this grace. He's preserved us another day. Another day that we are privileged to learn of His ways. Another day that we're privileged to serve Him. That we trust in the faith. Because we have to resist steadfast unto the faith. It tells us in 1 Peter 5:9 that we trust the body of Christ, the spiritual house of Israel, that cannot be shaken because it's firmly founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus and the apostles. I'm just trying to stir up your minds for that, get you ready for this weekend. You're a spiritual house. You're built up as lively stones. The spiritual house and holy priesthood, and you offer the spiritual sacrifices to God, and you do it every waking moment of your life. You keep that sacrifice on the altar. You strive to walk in the Lord's footsteps, come what may. You're begotten of the Holy Spirit as a new creature. Realize that God is dwelling with you. He's promised to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in my throne, in the temple of God. Revelation 3:12. So we want to have that Holy Spirit ruling in our mortal bodies. And if we do that, how can we have anything else but peace ruling in our hearts and minds also? But again, there's hard conditions in the world. You know, I come from Florida, as I said. I saw the other day, 60% of the houses in Florida are underwater. Not from a hurricane. They're underwater because they're worth less than what the mortgages are that the people paid for them. Did you ever think that would happen just like that? It's just in a couple of years. They just dropped down. You know what people are doing? They're walking away from their houses, leaving everything in it, and closing the door, and never come back. In the last couple of years, we've had more people move out of Florida than move in. I've been in Florida 35 years. First time it's happened in 35 years. Are things working out? It's God has them. He's the master controller. He's letting these things they're being torn down. Mankind is being humbled to be ready for that wonderful kingdom of peace and joy and love and safety where nobody can hurt or destroy. And in our own lives, we want to always consider our Heavenly Father. Put Him first. We have the cares of our jobs or our families and so forth, but we put Him first. What would you have me do, Father? We take it to the Lord in prayer. We consider Him that endured this contradiction of sinners against Himself, unless we become faint and weary in your minds. Hebrews 12:3. We're told to study out, to comprehend, to appreciate His course, His example, His teaching. To take note of, to have in mind, to reflect, remember. We consider that meekness, the patience. Oh, patience. Of course, I still work. I hope to retire soon. But just going to work is a challenge. Getting there. Right? There's just so much impatience in the world. One time I was in a store. And there was a man there, and he was a delivery man. And he was all covered with sweat from delivering the thing. And I said, oh, sir, can I help you? And he stopped. I thought he was going to say something bad to me. He said, young man, no one ever called me sir before. I thought, oh, and his wife, this was an older man. No one ever called him sir. Just think of the respect that we will have one for another, that honest sincerity of love. We have it now for our brethren. We're being judged by our love. Not sayers of the word, but doers of the word. We have that committed to our memories. We're going to have challenges in the world. Yes, we are. We're going to have hard experiences. But what did our Lord tell us in John 16:33? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a statement. Of course, He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But He wants us in our own lives to have a perfect intention of our heart as much as possible. And to pray that we could not say things that are going to injure or hurt or stumble our brethren. And He gives us so much from His storehouse, as we've said. He gives us His wonderful promises. What comes to your mind when you think of a promise that's special to you? What comes into your memory? Is it Isaiah 35:10? They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Is it Hebrews 8:11? Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I guess most of you know I work with handicapped children for 39 years. And this one is very special to me. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. We realize that's not only physical imperfections and weaknesses, but the moral decay. Being taught of God, having a mind that can learn and grasp of Him. It points out to these joys. But you know, right now, there's one that's so dear to us. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Again, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, sons of God, heirs, joint heirs according to the promise. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that way you may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1, 27 and 28. At the same time, if we have these verses, we have to be emptied of self-will. We have to realize the Father's will for us, and we want to make that will our own. It tells us further in Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 12, Colossians 4, 12. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. What does that mean? We can't strive to learn this thing fully and ignore other parts of our character. We have to simultaneously learn to be patient and understanding and loving and still have that knowledge of God in our hearts. Progressing properly along the narrow way. Raised up, going on to that glory, honor, and immortality. And at the same time, as we pointed to love, Romans 8:28, dear brother, our class calls this the formula for life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That you love one another as I have loved you, John 15, 12, and also 2 John 5. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And again, it's Hebrews 12, 2. We have access to God, and we have peace through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and grace wherein we stand. I like that term, that phrase. Grace wherein we stand. Right now in our lives, we have grace. There are times, and I know you've heard it expressed before, that the Heavenly Father has overruled circumstances in your life that you didn't even know He overruled. But as you go on, you might have looked back and said, I see that experience that God permitted was overruled for a reason. It was to help me. I needed something at that time. Because we remember that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing what? Tribulation, work of patience, patient experience, experience hope. And this hope maketh us not ashamed, because that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we all realize that the heart is a center of affections. Out of that heart, the mouth speaks. If we have a heart full of love, our mouth is going to speak words that are kind and considerate. Is that easy to do today in the world? Has it ever been easy to do? I don't think so. But in this world today of instant messages, and I'm just amazed at it. You know, you can talk to your phone now and look up anything you wanted to look up. And it'll say, what version of the encyclopedia did you want to look at? What did you want to look at? And it'll, you say, oh yeah, that's good. And it finds it for you in an instant. But you know what? The only problem, I'm not faulting anybody who has a phone. Of course, I have a phone too. We become impersonal. You're not personable. You're not in close relationship. You're not reaching out and touching that person. You're touching them through media.
But I think we're lacking in that hug, that handshake.
Those are the things you remember. You know, being of Ukrainian background, when I would go to the meeting with my parents, and your brother from Romania understands this too, I know, it'd be not just a hug, it'd be two kisses. And when you think that's from the heart, it's not something that they felt they had to do, but they did it because they loved you. They may have seen you yesterday, but they love you and they want to express it. You know, we have to express that love now as we have opportunity. Divine love has been shown by a Father's grace. God commanded his love to us that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And so you have to remember his teachings and apply them and strive to do that. That you want to be one that has a Holy Spirit more deeply rooted and grounded within you. Firmer, a strong faith you put on Christ. You want that mind of Christ in you. You have that justification by faith. It began as the first element of our faith. When we first saw a glimpse of the Lord and of his love, although it was imperfect at that time, and it still could be because we're not perfect on this side of the veil, but as we go on, as we mature, we're privileged to know more and more of him. And as we know more and more of him, our appreciation has to deepen. It just has to deepen. It has to mature also with our knowledge, with our faith, our trust, that we can then have peace and rest with God. Romans 5:1. We want to have that in our lives. I'm striving to have it. And I'm not saying every day that I work up, I'm always at peace. Because I know that anybody who's worked, and I know probably everybody in this room except the little tiny ones, there's some kind of stress going to be in your life. There is stress. There's so much stress in the world today. It's real. And you encounter it as you go on. And what can you do about that? You can be sincere. And when you see somebody and they look a little troubled, you don't just walk by them and say, oh, hi, you know, it's a path thing. Have a nice day. Have a good weekend. Hope you have a good afternoon. Do you ever stop and ask somebody, what kind of day are you actually having? Sometimes you'd be surprised when they say, well, I told you I was doing good, but I'm not really. They grab hold of that listening ear. And I think we have to be good listeners. The act of listening is kind of a lost art today. You hear, but are you listening to exactly what's going on? I want to do that more and more. I want to be an active listener, an active participant. I want to know what's going on, especially with the household of faith. And I want, as you do, to live that life that love and charity is fulfilling of the law, Romans 13:10, and perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. We can have that perfect love as we're striving to, and we have to reach that mark of perfect love, and then we enter into the joys of the Lord. And that 144,000 brings blessings to all the families of the earth. And enables you to comprehend as God's elect that breadth, length, depth, and height of God's plan. And you have it in your memory. You have a comprehension of it. And you received it through his grace, his holy word, and the promises that are granted now. To them that believe, it says in Galatians 3:22, the little flock, the shepherd of the flock, loves the flock. He wants what's best for them. And I think then the members of the flock, they want what's best for the other members of the flock. They want them to go to those still waters, those deep waters of truth, the green pastures of refreshment, to be worthy then to share the throne of glory of that great overcomer, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And so we must remember, as we said it earlier, that all things start out with God's love. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God is love. We should be loved. That should be in our mindset, our memories. Thy loving kindness is better than life. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus I will bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. I will remember Thee upon my bed and meditate upon Thee in the night watches. Psalm 63, 1-6. The night watches. We know it. We've talked about this before. I know you have. There are times when it's only you and the Lord in your experiences. The times when it's hard to go on, but He strengthens you to go on. And there's times when you just want to open up your heart to Him in prayer and thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Is that in your memory? Every word of God. Not the word of mankind. The word of God. We also consider the giving of ourselves, of our all. It's more blessed to give than receive. We're told in Acts 20:35, it implies that giving must be willing and voluntary. It has to be voluntary. You're not forced. He loves what? A cheerful giver. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in our tribulation. It says in 2 Corinthians 7:4, because, again, if you're having trials and experiences, you're being molded and shaped and chiseled and polished in the character likeness of our Lord. And what about our Lord's memory? He said, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. It serves to identify that man, Christ Jesus, with the present conditions of the Logos. It's Strong's 30:56. The Greek word, the name Jesus, made flesh, dwelt among us. John 1:14. It identifies positively Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh of the Logos, the firstborn of all creation. No matter who in the world says that this is a fable, that Jesus was just a man like any other man. These are the things we're combating against in our Christian walk. We had a witness effort in Orlando. And a lady stopped me, and she said, thank you for the effort. We had maybe 400 out for that. And she stopped me, and she said, are you going to heaven? I said, what's my hope? Wrong answer, she said. I'm going. I know I'm going. Nothing can happen that will stop me from going. I feel sorry for you. So we're getting some correspondence with this lady to try to show what the viewpoint is. Again, it's your goal to be there. But you can't be assured until you awaken as a new creature in Christ Jesus in heaven and see Him face to face. Paul had that assurance. Because he had done all things according to the will of God. We want to stand firm. We want to have our memory be a means of our identification. The things in our memory we want to come forth. Again, in comfort, consolation, in witnessing. Not that we feel we're better than the world or mankind. It tells us, in 1 Corinthians 1:26, not many wise or noble are called according to the flesh. But I thank Thee, God, O Father, Thou hast said these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. But the babes start out feeding on the milk of the Word, and they progress to that, the wheat into the strong meat. Does that mean that the milk's no longer important? The basic foundation truths are always going to be important for us to keep in our memory. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Those of a contrite heart who desire to be teachable, to be taught of God, to learn of His truth, seeking the meek, the humble-minded, those who are willing to learn of Him. But at the same time, in our brotherhood, there are brilliant minds, and I'm so thankful that are. That understand the chronology, that can present it, that can make it plain to us through the Holy Spirit.
And there are other brethren who have a talent in this way or that way. And once again, everybody who consecrated a footstep follows our Lord, you all have a talent. Or you would not have been called. There's something you can use in God's service. So, brethren, let us bring our study to a close with a couple of scriptures that really further point out to us. We realize that we were first told by our Lord to, and we're going to do this in a couple months, to do this remembrance of me. You know, the blood, the cup, the sufferings of Christ, the bread, the broken body, you partake of that. Do it in remembrance. Remember those things and what it stands for. And how we want to do that because our Lord asked us to do it. And it's brought out in Luke 22:19 also. Let us be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and really commandment to us by the apostle of the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus in 2 Peter 3:1-2. Whatsoever things are pure, just, lovely, of a good report, think on those things. Put those things in your memory. When you look at a brother, don't remember something he might have said to you or maybe you said to him in a study or in a moment when the flesh rose up. Think of some, look at everybody and try to find something good to remember them by. We don't know how much longer we have to go in this world. We should strive to stir up each other's mind and grow and develop towards good works. This is done through and with the provision which the Lord made to give us a capacity to remember. So, we all should remember the poor also. Those who are in this time of sorrow that will give way to unspeakable joy. And we pray for that kingdom to be established fully on this earth. And also, we want to remember the brethren that are going through difficult trials and experiences and circumstances in the name of Christ along this narrow way. And pray for one another. Hold sessions or opportunities that we have for study, fellowship, and communion. Hold those dear to your heart. So strive also to have these precious memories of God's love, of His blessings. Those that now walk as members of this holy body of Christ. Let us continue to put God first in our lives. Let us further go to His rich storehouse and study the Word of God and apply it to our memories. That they may all work out and His providential care may overrule all our interests for our highest welfare. And brother, my closing comment is this. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. May the Lord bless you all.